Good morning. It's lovely to be here this morning. It's the week after Easter, but it's that week in between, but it's still great to be here. It's great to be together as the family of God in Ballyhenry. Just a few things. The bulletins have been emailed out. Hopefully you've got a copy of that. There's a few copies out in the foyer there if you don't get one. But I have a few announcements just to add on to those, so just bear with me for a few minutes while I make those. First of all, there's no Bible class this morning, so young people will stay for the duration of the service. To members of session, there is no session meeting this week. The next session meeting will be in May, so please don't turn up on Tuesday night because there'll be nobody here. Wednesday night, we're in fellowship group mode again. We're on study six, and looking forward to that for the fellowship, the learning, and the crack as well, which is great at our group. A few other announcements just to highlight from the bulletin. So, as you know, we're refurbing the kitchen. That's due to start at the beginning of the next week, not the incoming week, but next week. So there's a plan to try and clear the kitchen on Friday. If you're free at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon and you'd be willing to come along and help, would you put your name on the sheet that's just outside the door there and come along at 2 o'clock on Friday? Hopefully it'll not take too long, but that will just get it ready for the rip out that's going to happen probably Monday week. As you know, ladies, there's a conference happening on Saturday morning. I didn't realise there were 2 5 past 8s in the day, but apparently you have to meet at 5 past 8 if you're coming from the church on Saturday morning. If you need a lift, or you want to travel with someone, please be here for 8:05. Otherwise, I think you know the arrangements for going over to the place in Lisburn. Serena says she will be in contact with everybody who has their name down during the week if there are any further arrangements needed. If you haven't paid yet, could you please pass your money on as soon as possible to Emma Dunn or to Catherine Lee? And if anybody who has put their name down but finds they can't go, would you contact Serena directly? And Serena will deal with that herself. One final one. There was a planned meeting next Sunday afternoon of the Holiday Bible Club team. That's been postponed for a week, so it's going to be, rather than being on the 14th, it's going to be on the, let me get my dates right, 21st. It's going to be on the 21st. So that's all the announcements. Thank you for bearing with me on that. Can I just give a really warm Ballyhenry welcome to Reverend Trevor Long, who's with us this morning. Trevor is no stranger to Ballyhenry. It's probably been about 3 weeks, Trevor, since the last year. But Trevor has been an immense supporter of some of the initiatives and work that we've done in Ballyhenry. Probably a lot of people won't be aware of that, but you all heard of North Belfast Presbytery and the Urban Mission Trust, which Trevor's heavily involved in. And because of some of the support that we've been given, a lot of the initiatives that we have done have been able to go ahead that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. So Trevor, you're very welcome with us this morning. Hope you feel part of the Ballyhenry family. And we truly look forward to hearing what God will say to us through you. And pray you'll be blessed as you worship with us.
Thank you very much for the welcome. Thank you for the warm welcome I've already received this morning. It is really good to be with you this morning. Thank you. My name is Trevor Long. I'm the fat one with the beard, as most people will remember me. And this is not the first time that I've been here, but maybe you don't know me. I come from a congregation further in towards the city called Rosemary. I'm clerk of session there, and I also happen to be the clerk of presbytery for North Belfast. And it is really encouraging when I'm able to come and be in congregations like yours this morning and be able to share together in worship. It is really encouraging. It is great to be part of a presbytery that is so concerned for God's will to be done and to work together. And you're part of that. And so I thank you for the encouragement that you as a congregation bring to presbytery, that your minister and your Kirk session bring to our presbytery. It's good to be part of that. So I bring you greetings from my own congregation in Rosemary, but also from the rest of the presbytery. May God bless you. The theme for this morning is really about where to now. Easter's past, but what next? What do we do now? And that's what I want us to explore together. Now, if you're part of the Bible class, the bad news is that you don't get to escape. But the good news is I'll try and include you in the rest of the service as we work together. So we're here to worship God. We're here to be touched by God. And we're here to tell God that we love him. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 86. And in the 10th verse and 11th verse, it says this: "For you are a great and marvelous God. You do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear and respect your name. Teach me, Lord." We're all learners in God's kingdom. So let's stand together and praise God with the words, "Man of sorrows, Lamb of God." Let's stand and sing. We've had our call to worship. We've sung to his praise. And now let's come to God in prayer. Let's tell God that we love him and ask him to work in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as your people, your disciples. And we pray, Father, that you would work in our lives today. By this service, challenge us, reawaken us, teach us, so that we can serve you better. We want to tell you, Father, that we love you. We want to serve you better, to do more. And we ask, Father, that you would be with us, that you would stir us up, open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts, that we would really do business with you today, that you would work in us. Father, we thank you for being able to come together to worship like this, to sing songs to you, to be together in fellowship, and to listen to your word. Father, by your Holy Spirit, awaken in us our love for you. And Father, we recognize that we're not worthy, that we're not really good enough, and that we need your love, your forgiveness. And you've given it to us in Jesus. We thank you for him. We thank you that he is alive and that we follow him. Father, by this service, help us to grow in our faith and love for you and be better able to serve you. For we pray it in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. I wonder if the boys and girls would like to come up to the front. I'd love to come down and just share something with you. I've lost the thing that I was looking for. Oh my goodness, what have I done with it? I wonder if I left it in the pulpit. Nope. I've lost my visual aid. What have I done with it? I brought a letter with me, one letter, and it was the letter L. What do you think the letter L stands for? If I saw it on a car, what would it tell me about the person who was driving that car? What do you think? They're a learner. A learner. And that means that you have to take consideration and not blow a horn at them and shout at them because they're only learning. Isn't that right? Do you learn things? Where do you go to learn things? Where? School. Do you go to school? What school do you go to? Good school. Do you like it? Do you learn lots of things? Good. Who else is a learner here? Not very many. All right. Some of you are learning things. What helps you to learn? How do we learn? What things help you to learn? Your brain. That's right. Your brain helps you to learn. Okay. What other things help us to learn? How do we learn? Who helps us? Teachers. Yeah. They know more than us, hopefully. And they teach us. All right. What sort of things are they teaching you in school? What sort of things are you learning in school at the moment? What? Maths? Yeah. How to count? All right. Do you like that or not? Yeah, not sure. Okay, that's all right. Sometimes things are hard, and sometimes they're easy. Sometimes you like them, sometimes you don't. Okay. What else helps us to learn? We've got teachers, we've got our brain. What other things can help us? How can we learn? What do you think? You can learn to write numbers and letters and things on your calculator and all. And who teaches you that? Do other people, can you learn from your friends? Good. So mummies and daddies can teach us things as well. Yeah? That's good. All right. So lots of people teach us things. We can learn from our parents, learn from our teachers, learn from our friends, grandparents. But can you teach anybody? How many grandparents here have been taught something by your grandchildren? Maybe how to use your phone or something like that? Hands up if you've learned something from your grandchildren. Look, have a look at all the hands. So you can be teachers as well. You teach people. And when you come to church, you learn things. We learn things about God, about Jesus, about being together. And it's really important. What did Jesus call his friends? What was the word that he used to describe his friends? Because they were all learners. What do you think?
Disciples.
Good answer. Disciples. And disciples are learners. Have you ever seen a disciple?
No.
Well, look round. Have a look. You saw it in your Easter story at school. Well, I want you to look round. Look at these people. Do you know something? They're disciples as well. They should have a big red L on their shirts or jumpers or jackets because we're all learners. You're all learners, but so are they. We're all disciples. Learners from God. He's trying to teach us. That's one of the reasons that we come to church, to learn. We come to worship and enjoy fellowship together, but we also come to learn. And the reading I had, I talked about that God would teach us. So all of us this morning are learners, disciples, all of you. So I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray for you especially, all of you, as you learn about God today and that God will teach you lots of new things. So let's pray for the boys and girls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every child here. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. We thank you for their youth leaders, their Sunday school teachers, the people that care for them. We pray for their parents, their grandparents. Bless them, Lord. And may these children grow up to know you, to love you, and to serve you. May they know that Jesus is alive, and may they follow him in all they do. Bless them, Lord, and teach them, for we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for taking part, and thank you for helping me. All right, let's sing together. We're going to sing, and I'm going to see the words coming up now, and it is Every Move I Make. Let's stand and sing together. Going to be reading from God's word. We're going to be reading it in two parts. It's from Luke chapter 24, and it's on page 1061 if you want to follow along. And this is right after the resurrection. The girls have gone to the grave. They've gone not to see the risen Jesus. They've gone to anoint a dead body. The work that they should have done on the Friday, they were prevented from doing because of the Sabbath day. And so they put it off until now. And so at dawn, they've gone to the grave and they found it empty. So we're going to read, not from verse 1, but from verse 13. Because this is just after the girls have come back. They've told the men that the grave is empty. They've told them what's happened. But they did not believe the women, it says in verse 11. They did not believe them because their words seemed like nonsense. It's unbelievable. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. What's going on? It's not clear. So let's read together what happens next. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village which they were going to, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus had been recognized by them when he broke the bread. And may God bless this first part of the reading together. We're going to continue now by praying together, praying for others. And I want us to sort of think of something that's big, something that's medium, and something that's small, in the sense that sometimes we feel that things are so big that we're overpowered by them. And we look at our televisions and we see what's happening across the world, whether it's in Gaza or Ukraine or other places, whether there's disasters or things that we can't control, and we feel overawed by them. So we pray for our world. And then we pray for the middling-sized things, the things that are closer to home, and we pray for our hospitals and our schools and the situation with our governments. And lastly, I want to pray for the smaller things, the things that are closest to home, the things that are personal to us, to this congregation, to this community, and to our families. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of all things, big and little. Lord, help us as we pray to you now, as we bring to you our concerns, our worries, our hopes, our doubts, our fears. Hear us as we pray for others. We pray for our world, a confusing, a chaotic place, full of danger, destruction. Father, be with those war-torn places, Sudan, Ukraine, Gaza. Father, be with those people who live in danger, those people who are starving because food and supplies cannot reach them. Father, be with the aid workers, the healers, the helpers. Be with the peacemakers. Father, you are the God of all things, and we bring to you the troubles of our world. Be with those people in trouble. Help them. May there be people who make a difference to their lives that will bring healing and help to them. And we pray, Lord, for things closer to home. We pray for our schools, our hospitals, our healthcare situation, the budgets, the demands upon our savings, our monies. Father, be with us as we struggle with life, especially, Lord, those who are struggling at this time in pain, in sickness, who need constant help and care. Lord, thank you for our hospitals, our healthcare workers, the people that mop the floors and make the meals and drive the ambulances. Lord, the people who do so many things that go unnoticed and unthanked for. Father, be with our hospitals, Lord, that the waiting lists would grow shorter, that people would get the treatment that they need. And be with our schools too, Lord. Primary schools and secondary schools, those that make decisions over budgets, be with them, Lord. Be with the Christian people working in these schools. Lord, help them to be salt and light there to make a difference. And Lord, closer to home, we pray for this congregation and for the families represented here. We pray for this community. And we pray, Lord, that Ballyhenry Church would be a blessing to this community. Lord, be with its committee and its Kirk session and its leaders and teachers, those people that work so tirelessly to make things happen in this place. Be with Niall and his wife and family, Lord, as they minister in this place. Bless them. Lord, bless the families here, and bless the people who are too busy to come to church this morning, that have no time for you. Father, speak to them. May they know that Jesus is alive. May they be challenged to follow you, to love you, to serve you. May they know the love of Jesus in their lives. For we pray it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing together again. There is our Redeemer. Let's stand and sing. We're going to continue reading this time from the same passage, continuing on page 1062. Jesus appears to his disciples. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that he was a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still, they did not believe it because of joy and amazement. He asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and they ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name for all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And may God bless this reading of his word. What a week they have had. All that they've seen and experienced, the roller coaster that they have been on. They were on the high of the triumphal entry of Palm Sunday. The crowds cheering and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, the new Messiah has come." And then within the week, he is dead on the cross. They have seen him arrested. They have seen him tortured. They have seen him nailed to the cross. They have seen his body taken down and put in a tomb. They had lost everything. They had lost their leader, their teacher, their friend. They had lost their future. This man who had called them to follow him, to be his disciples, and he's gone. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And these girls go to the grave and they find that the grave's empty. And they come back and they tell the men, "The grave's empty, we've seen angels." And they won't believe them. There is doubt and confusion. And then these two people are walking on the road to Emmaus, just 7 miles from Jerusalem. And someone appears to them and talks to them. And eventually he reveals himself to them in the breaking of bread. And they realize that it's Jesus. And he chastises them. He says, "You're foolish. You're slow-minded." Another version talks about being thick-headed. How stupid that you didn't realize what was going on. I was 16 years old when I heard somebody in a coffee bar say, "Jesus is alive." And I hadn't a baldy clue what they were talking about. I didn't understand it, but I wanted to find out more. I hadn't gone to that coffee bar to find out about Jesus, but I heard those words, and it was for the first time in my knowledge that I had heard it. Now, it didn't happen that I was able to put all the pieces together and that was it. Great. He's alive. Good news. That's amazing. Excellent. No, I hadn't a clue what this meant. And I needed the help of others. I needed to read what it said for myself. And I'll be honest with you, it probably took me 2 years to put all the pieces together, to really understand what this meant. He's alive. You see, Easter is the start of something for each of us. And I want you to go out this morning from this place encouraged and challenged and refreshed. And I want to encourage you as you seek to be taught by Jesus. We're all learners. Those two on the road to Emmaus were slow and a bit thick. They hadn't worked it out, and Jesus needed to reveal himself to them. And in the room with the other disciples, when Jesus holds out his hands and shows them the wounds, they doubted. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. And he opens their minds. And I want your minds to be open today to what God is doing in your life. Where do we go from Easter? What does it mean that Jesus is alive? You see, they'd lost everything, but here's Jesus now appearing to them and encouraging them and telling them to go on. That he's going to send someone to help them. And they're going to be witnesses. They have a job to do. So I want to say to you today that there are new things for us today in this story. There's new confidence. I want you to be confident in Christ. This is what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples to encourage them. There was doubt and confusion and misunderstanding. Who was he really? What did he really mean? Why did he do all these things? Why did he say that in the upper room on the Thursday night? Why did he break the bread and say, "This is my body and this is my blood with the wine"? What was all this about? And so all of this is going on. So I want you to take confidence in what is in Scripture. To be confident in Christ. I want you to have new confidence, because that's what Easter brings. The book of Luke starts with Luke writing down and saying, "I'm trying to create an orderly account for you, O Theophilus, so that you will have certainty about the things that you've been taught." And Luke keeps that going all the way through. He wants the readers to be certain, to have confidence. I want you to take confidence that Jesus is alive. Not because I'm saying it here in the pulpit, but because it's in Scripture. Because Jesus is alive. Read it for yourself. Be encouraged by it. Allow Jesus to open your minds and to build you up in confidence. To be stronger in your faith. Because we are all disciples, we are all learners. But it's not just about confidence. Not new confidence, it's a new direction. What direction do we go to from Easter? Where do we go from here? Where's your life heading? And in this world today, there are so many voices, so many influences that would tell us, do this, do that, eat that, read this, do this, your life will be better. Get rid of all that rubbish that's cluttering up your house. Good idea. All right? My wife's already put me in the skip twice, but I keep climbing out again. All right? But really, get rid of anything that's holding you back. Isn't that what these influencers and people tell us? So many people wanting to give us advice what to do with our money, what to do with our diet, what to do with our exercise, where to go, what to do. And God says, follow Jesus. Thomas was a bit of a doubter. We know that. And we know that Thomas said, I won't believe until I see the wounds in his hands and his feet, until I'm able to see it for myself. Well, he was a doubter as well when Jesus said in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, I go to prepare a place for you. And Thomas says, but we don't know where you're going. How can we go there? Where are you going? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Follow me. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told to throw off everything that hinders and to fix our eyes on Jesus. In this world where there are so many influences telling us what to do and where to go and how to do it, Scripture tells us to follow Jesus. That's the new direction that Jesus wanted his disciples to follow. The cross was not the end. The grave was open and empty, and we are to follow Jesus. That's the direction that our life will take. And I say it somewhat tritely, follow Jesus. How do you follow Jesus in your job tomorrow? How do you follow Jesus in your complicated family life? It's not easy. Life is not easy. It's not easy for the disciples. They're having to make sense of what this means. How do we follow Jesus? And Jesus says, I'm going to send someone to be with you, his Holy Spirit, to encourage us and to advise us and direct us. But we need to depend on that. We need to ask for that. So I say to you that there's a new confidence because of Easter, and there's a new direction. Follow him. But also there's a new purpose. There's a purpose in our lives. There's a purpose for the disciples that he tells them, you're my witnesses. The word has to be preached and taught and shared. And who's going to do it? Well, the disciples are going to do it. So there's a purpose for each of us. Now, you might say, well, that's what we have a minister for. That's what he gets up on a Sunday morning to do. Well, that's partially true. But all he's doing is helping you to be equipped to go out there. Because this is a rescue center. Maybe you thought this was just a church. This is a rescue center where people go out to save lives, to change lives. Scripture in 2 Corinthians, it talks about us being ambassadors. Now, ambassadors is a strange word in the sense that when we think of ambassadors, we maybe think of Ferrero Rocher and this lovely dinner in the ambassador's house, his residence, and all these people running around with beautiful food and celebrating. But the ambassadors that Scripture talks about are messengers, people that have been sent by someone with a message. Messengers, witnesses, people who have a story to tell. But as well as that, we have a story to tell and we have love to share. Because we're told to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus taught that. So how are you going to love this week? What love of God are you going to express in your life this week? How are you going to be a witness and an example in the week ahead? I don't know where God is going to take you this week. Maybe not very far. But wherever you go, you have a purpose. Those disciples didn't know what was really going to happen next. And let's be clear, just because Jesus is alive doesn't mean that all their problems have disappeared. There's still the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Romans. There's still the threat over their lives. There is uncertainty. But the difference is that Jesus is alive. They are not alone. They have new confidence. They have new direction. They have new purpose. He has not abandoned them. And so they go into the future, as you and I go into the future, with confidence in Jesus. And they went forward, not absolutely, totally, it's all right, nothing bad's going to happen, but they knew that they had Jesus with them. And Jesus says, come follow me. Now that means that if you're following Jesus, you've got to get up and go. You can't stay in one place and follow Jesus. It's great to look back and remember the past, but we don't live in the past. We learn from the past. And so we go forward, and we go forward with Jesus. We go into the future with our confidence in him, but also recognizing that it's not going to be easy. The rest of the world's going in the opposite direction. And so we're fighting the flow. Our way is narrow and difficult. We're going against the crowd often, but we don't do it alone. And the last thing I want to say to you is that we have new joy. In the midst of all of this emotional turmoil that the disciples were having when they heard that Jesus was alive, when they saw him, when he ate that fish and spent time with them, there was joy. And I say to you, be joyful. Recognize in your heart that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that he is alive. So be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always, it says in Philippians chapter 4. That's not just that we raise our hands in the air and jump around. It's not just that. It's more than that. It's a deep personal joy of knowing with certainty that Jesus is alive. I have a message here for some of the elders. I was in a church in Ethiopia a couple of years ago, and there were these men standing at the front. And I said, what are the guys for? And they said, they're the elders. I thought, that's great. They looked a bit like bouncers. Oh, but there they were at the front. And I said, well, are they there to lift the offering? No, they're not there to lift the offering. Are they there to welcome people? No. And I said, what are they there for? And he said, you'll see. And later on in the service, some people got a bit too excited. And so the elders' job was to put them back in their seats, right? Wouldn't it be great if we had a situation where the job of your elders, your Kirk session, was to calm people down because they were getting so excited? I don't think that's going to happen in Ballyhenry just yet, or in Rosemary or wherever. But I do say this, be joyful. Know that Jesus is alive. Have confidence in that. Be confident in the direction that he has given you. Follow me. and be clear that you have a purpose, a job to do. You are his witnesses. You are his ambassadors. And you go out with love from this place, this rescue center here in Ballyhenry, to go out and change lives and to tell people he's alive. I pray that God will bless you in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive, that the cross is not the end, but it's the beginning of something amazing. Lord, fill us with confidence, new direction, new purpose, and new joy. Help us as we serve you this week. Encourage us as we seek to serve you. Give us words and actions that will make a difference. For we pray it in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Let's stand and lift our voices as we sing, "I Stand Amazed in the Presence." Let's praise God. Blessing and love of God the Father, the salvation of Jesus Christ his Son, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit go with you all. Amen.